Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for our meditation this morning is our epistle lesson recorded for us in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 30, and reading on into chapter 5. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of every kind of bitterness, rage, anger, quarreling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God, in Christ, has forgiven us. Therefore, be imitators of God as his dearly loved children, and walk in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are your truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, isn't it cute when a little toddler wants to imitate his parents? I think back many years ago when we were living down in Florida, our son Levi, he was probably about 2 or 3 years old, he had this habit. Whenever my wife would take out the vacuum and start vacuuming the living room floor, he'd want to run to the toy room and pull out his little toy vacuum and vacuum right alongside of her. He'd do it for me as well when I'd pull up my lawnmower from the garage, get it started up. Sure enough, a few moments later, be running outside with this toy lawnmower wanting to mow the lawn, wanting to be just like Dad. Now, my wife and I understood that he really wasn't helping us at all with the tasks we were trying to accomplish, yet it warmed our heart that he wanted to act like us, to be like us. In fact, it's been said, you've probably heard it before, that imitation really is the highest compliment that can be paid someone. Today in God's Word, he encourages us to imitate someone. Not to imitate parents, though that's good, but especially to imitate him. To imitate his love, the love that he has shown us, and to show that to each other with our lives. Maybe you've heard it said before, maybe you yourself have said it to your child. What you're doing is making Jesus cry. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody say that before. Maybe parents say that to their children to make them feel quite guilty for what they are doing. And we don't know if it's true, if Jesus cries every time that we sin. We do know that Jesus wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus. Jesus was sorrowful over the destruction of Jerusalem as he saw it in the future. Jesus also shed tears when he prayed before his passion. We don't know if Jesus cries every time we sin, but we do know this from our lesson today, that the Holy Spirit is grieved over our sin. It maybe doesn't mean that he sheds tears, but he is saddened. He is disturbed by our sins, troubled by them. Now, my wife and I have striven throughout our lives as adults to raise our boys in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and I think about how troubled we are at times if we hear one of them use a bad word. How troubled we are and distressed if we walk into their room and we find them fighting with each other, sometimes even throwing punches. I can only imagine a parent of maybe an older child, as they also tried to raise that child the best they could, to shower that child with so much love and affection and teach them what is right and wrong and teach them God's word. And they received that phone call late one night. It's the police. Their underage son has been arrested and is in jail for drunk driving. Those parents ask, what are we doing wrong? Why is this happening? And it's really not the parent's fault. It's really the child's fault. The child is accountable for the wrongs that he has done. And yet the parent can be grieved, troubled. Because there is such a close connection between parent and child, the parent has spent so many long years trying to raise that child the right way and to give them loving care and advice and to shower them with that love. And so it troubles them as they see their own child going a different direction. Whose child are you? You could probably mention for me the names of your earthly parents, but it's good for us to remember what even we saw today occur with little Lincoln. As Lincoln was brought to the waters of holy baptism, and we know what happens there, that God graciously forgave little Lincoln's sin as he did for us, and he also gave the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we know the Holy Spirit's the one that gives new life. In fact, Jesus himself said of baptism that in baptism we are born again. We are born of water and the Spirit, and that means then that God is our true Father. We are his dearly loved children. But we grieve God, don't we? We grieve God with the things that we do. The Apostle Paul, in our lesson for today, it seems like he's really focusing on, in this brief section, maybe a number of sins that maybe can connect back to anger. You maybe can even go through that list in our lesson for today, and you might wonder if it's almost kind of a steps of anger there. As we know how someone can become angry over some wrong that was committed to them, and how that can result in bitterness, maybe as they keep it, bottle it up inside, and then it can turn to rage as they dwell on it more, and maybe can result in evil words, slander against their neighbor, and then even violent words, maybe even violent actions towards someone who has done wrong to them. We can see this in marriage. You know, maybe a couple gets married, and early on in their marriage, they set the roles down, who's going to take care of what in the household, and it's the husband's job to always take out the garbage. But years down the road, he forgets. And his wife doesn't think much of it, but he forgets again and again and again. And soon there is this bitterness and resentment that the wife has toward her husband. And eventually, over the course of time, as she's bottled it up so long, it can maybe turn into harsh words as she begins to speak to him. And he recognizes it. He hears it in her voice, but he doesn't understand why she's speaking to him this way, and he himself can grow frustrated and angry. Maybe he decides that he's just going to shut down. He's not going to speak at all. And so finally, eventually, it erupts into this big argument, and it seems that they're on the brink of divorce. It can happen in the workplace too. Fellow employees that get frustrated with one another, maybe because one isn't accomplishing the task they've been given to do. Maybe because some unkind words have been spoken and things can get bottled up. There can be anger and resentment. Maybe they don't speak to each other. It can happen in the church as well, right? So we hurt one another. Maybe it results in slander and backbiting that's so common, sadly, in so many Christian churches. And all of this grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit, whose work is the exact opposite of that. See, his work in us is not just to bring us to faith and make us part of God's family, but his work of us is also to make us holy, to sanctify us, to lead us to live new and different lives for him. But he sees all of this anger that results in so much sin that stems from it. And he is grieved, because that's not the way that God has really acted towards us. How has God acted towards you? He has acted in a way in which you don't deserve. He's acted with kindness and compassion and forgiveness. Maybe at times we take that for granted. We say, well, God just has to be that way. That's the way God is, right? But he doesn't. God doesn't owe you anything. You think about the way God bestowed a tremendous blessing upon our first parents, Adam and Eve. He gave them a perfect world and a wonderful garden and the animals and each other to enjoy. And he gave them this one rule, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Show your love for me by obeying my command, right? When they sinned against God, he showered them with blessing. They went against him. He had every right to say, okay, I'm done with you. You don't appreciate me. You don't appreciate what I'm doing. I'm going to start over. But he didn't do that. Forgave, didn't he? And he forgives us as well. He showers us with so many blessings in our own life, with our family, with our spouses, with our children, with our work. So many material blessings, and yet we continue to sin against God. As God has been kind, compassionate, forgiving, He's been kind, He's been gentle with us, even when we deserve a harsh rebuke. He's been compassionate, showing mercy, feeling for our condition, even though He did nothing to get us there. It was all us. Maybe you can imagine a hiker in the woods as he's walking along a trail and he sees a wolf that's been injured. His leg is broken. And the hiker maybe knows that any other time he'd maybe meet such a wolf along a trail, that wolf might try to snap at him. But his heart goes out to the wolf. He wants to help, and very gently, very carefully, wants to try to help and to heal. Think of God acting in a compassionate way towards us, though we go against Him. And even He goes further, even not just acting in compassion, but even in forgiveness. When we have wronged Him, when we've gone against His word, that He forgives all of those sins and continues to love. It's like that hiker caring for the wolf. Let's say that he actually snapped at him and drew blood. He had every right to push him away, to be done with him. But yet God continues to forgive. He continues to love. There's many times that we take God's love and forgiveness for granted, too. Now, during this time of year, we can think of many high school students that are heading off to college. And for a lot of them, their parents are helping them out quite a bit. Their parents maybe have scrimped and saved over the course of many years, maybe even over more than a decade, to help provide, to pay tuition for them to go to school. There's some young people that recognize this incredible sacrifice their parents have made for them, and so they want to do their best. They want to study as hard as they can, but there's other students too who maybe say, well, mom and dad are rich. Instead of studying, they're only thinking about the next party that they're going to go to, not appreciating everything that mom and dad have sacrificed for them. God has made an incredible sacrifice for you. It wasn't with scrimping and saving a whole bunch of money for you, but it is with the shedding of His blood. It's with God giving His own Son into death on the cross, as He's described in our lesson for today, a fragrant offering. God gave His Son as a sacrifice for your sin. The highest sacrifice that could be made, He made for you, not because you deserve it, but because He's kind and compassionate and forgiving, because God is love, because His heart went out to you in your condition, your trouble that you got yourself into. God did not want you to die in your sins. And so He sent Jesus to die for you, to go to a cross, to suffer there, to make you right with Him, and to bring you back into that loving relationship with Him as His dearly loved child. And so He wants you now to imitate Him. He wants you to imitate Him, especially in the way in which you love one another. You know, we can think about parents and children, and how a child can imitate its parent. I heard a story about a writer for Reader's Digest that he needed to write an article at one time for Reader's Digest, and the article was going to be on the Amish, and so he decided he was going to go and study up on the Amish and even go to an Amish community. And while he was there in that community, he went to a school where there's Amish children, and he was outside during recess time, and he saw different classes came outside for recess, but he noticed something. He noticed that none of the kids were yelling at each other. It was nothing like any other recess that he had seen in any other school before, and so he was intrigued by this, and he came up to the head schoolmaster, and he asked him why he thought that the Amish children don't yell. The schoolmaster asked a question of the man, Well, have you ever seen an Amish adult yell at another? We think about how those children learn from their parents, don't they? God wants us to learn from Him, to see His love and be inspired by it, and to act in love toward each other, especially when it comes to our own anger. You know, just a few verses before our lesson for today, there's a very familiar verse that says this, that be angry, yet do not sin. And it really seems to imply that one can have that emotion of anger and yet not sin, and how important it is for us, though, to keep that anger in check, to not allow that anger to bottle up inside with that bitterness and resentment that might turn into that rage and lashing out in words and actions. In fact, Jesus Himself encourages us when we've been wronged. He says in Matthew chapter 18, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his sin just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have regained your brother. He encourages us not to stew in that anger, but to deal with it, to go right away and to talk to the one that's wronged us, to go to them. Not just to go and to deal with it quickly, but to forgive as well. To forgive our brother when he tells us that he is sorry for the wrong that he has committed. You know, C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. How true that is in my own life. I think of myself, even as a pastor, often encouraging others to forgive. But how difficult it seems to be in my own life, especially with my own kids. They do something outrageous, and you can't believe it as a parent, and your anger is there, maybe even righteous anger against them, and they come to you in tears, sorrowful for what they've done, but how difficult it can be at such a time as a parent to forgive. I think there's part of us that wants those kids to kind of have to feel that guilt and feel that weight of their sin a bit more, to suffer to some degree, and so we are reluctant. But Christian forgiveness is really easy. It's easy when we don't look to the person who has offended us for a reason for forgiveness, but instead we look to God and to what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We look to God and His forgiveness and love that He continually showers down upon us for all our many transgressions that we have committed against Him. And we're inspired by that, not by the person who stands before us, not because they've been so nice to us or kind, but because of God and His love. That inspires our own forgiveness. Somewhere outside, miles away from the city of New York, is a cemetery in which there is a tombstone that has but one word written on it. There's no name, there is no date of birth, there's no date of death, there's no details about the persons whose remains are there. Just one word is on the tombstone. That word is forgiven. Is there a better word that you could think of as a Christian to have on your tombstone if there'd be one word there? Forgiven, to know that you are forgiven by God and that everyone that would walk by would know that this individual knows that they are forgiven by God. Perhaps, though, there's another word that we can include as well. Forgiving. You see, Jesus Himself connects those two words, forgiven and forgiving. He does so in the prayer that He taught us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It reminds us that our forgiveness from Him results in our forgiving attitude towards our fellow man. You've probably heard it said before, don't get mad, get even. Well, maybe for us as Christians, we can have our own little twist on that phrase, don't get mad, get forgiven. Remember God's forgiveness when you are angry. As you deal with your brother, go to him. Go to him, let him know how hurt you feel, that he might repent, and that you might forgive. It's certainly heartwarming for us as parents to see little ones imitate us, to want to be just like mom and dad. Let us as Christians imitate God, imitate our Heavenly Father, wanting to forgive each other because of his forgiveness and love that he has showered down upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.